And these little kids would tell what they're thankful for, you know, crazy things, wild things, fun things, you know, they'd all give something they're thankful for, but they had something, which is pretty wild, because if you know the type of kids that she have, these kids that attend her school, most of them have seen more stuff than you'll ever see in your life. Most of them have experienced things that no kid should ever have to experience. But yet, they're still getting up and saying, I'm thankful for whatever. And so I started preparing a Thanksgiving message, and I thought, well, we're going to talk about thankfulness. And I thought about it, and the more I prayed, you know, I was like, man, I don't know if, I know there's a lot in our congregation that they would be honest, they say, Pastor, I don't know if I have anything I'm thankful for. I know there's a lot of people that are struggling. There's a lot of people who've gone through a battle. There's a lot of people facing illness. There's a lot happening. And so I thought, okay, well, if we don't do thankfulness, what can we talk about? Because what happens a lot of times is we get focused on the negative, don't we? And in our world, our culture today, there's a lot of negative talk, isn't there? I mean, everywhere you go, everything's negative. Anybody else feel that way? Is it just me? It's like you're almost overwhelmed everywhere you look, and it's all the time. You turn on the news, or you open the news app on your phone, and there's a lot of really difficult news. You know, it's funny, I told First Service, when we first moved to Springfield, Missouri, we moved from Oklahoma City. And so we first moved here, and that's been 17 years ago. We turn on the nightly news at the 10 o'clock news, right? And, like, I remember, I'll never forget, like, the worst thing, like, the lead story was somebody stole a bike. I was like, oh, my gosh, where are we at, Mayberry? You know, I'm like, what in the world? Because we came to Oklahoma City, there's stabbing, shootings, all kinds of stuff. And so we come here, and like, wow, this is awesome. I think Springfield now is caught up with the rest of the world. And so we kind of upped our game on violence, and so it's crazy. Crazy amount of people is getting sick, the amount of people who are tragically dying, the jobs are vanishing, economy is struggling, nations divided, even the parties are divided amongst themselves. I mean, it's crazy. It seems like the persuasive message in the world today is it's the end of the world as we know it. And it's so easy for you and I to get sucked into this negativity, of fear, of anxiety, and we get so overwhelmed. And then the holiday seasons hit, and it's like 10 times worse, especially Thanksgiving. In a few days, we're going to have a hard time coming up with anything to be thankful for, and everybody's going to be saying, what are you thankful for? And I'm going to be like, shut up, right? And that's kind of where we're at. And we find ourselves kind of fighting to keep a perspective of faith and a positive attitude. We know we should have an attitude of faith. We know we should look for the good in the middle of the bad and believe God's still on the throne. And we know that, but the honest truth is it's tough. If you're not admitting it, it's tough, maybe you're just lying to yourself. But here's the bottom line, kind of leads into what we're going to talk about today, is that a negative outlook never leads to a positive life. Let me say that one more time, let you think about that. A negative outlook never leads to a positive life. Because what I'm going to do today is I want to show you how to have unshakable optimism about the future. Because right now, if I went and asked you how many optimistic about the future, I doubt anybody would say yes. But I want to show you how to have unshakable optimism. And what we're going to do first is I want us to define optimism. So we all start on the same page. We all know what we're talking about. And we're going to start by defining it. But I want to start by saying what optimism is not. Because we think optimism is a lot of things, you know. If you're an optimistic person, you look at that glass, you see what? Oh, it's half full. Everybody else says it's half empty, okay? And so a lot of times you think of optimistic people as like cloud, head in the cloud. You know, they don't really have a clue what's going on. They don't have a really grip on grasp on reality, but we want to define it, okay? So let's talk about what optimism is not. It's not a denial of reality, okay? It's not just blindly acting like everything's going to be okay, nothing's wrong, just have a positive attitude no matter what. That's not what it is. Because the reality is, we have very significant challenges in our world today. So optimism is not the denial of reality. It's not blind faith. It's not just wishful thinking that everything's going to work out. If we don't do anything, everything's going to be okay. Okay, it's not that. So it's not a denial of reality. It's not blind faith. And a definition I read online that feel like it's very fitting. And so this is what optimism is, okay? Optimism is confidence about the future or a successful outcome. That's what the world says optimism is, confidence about the future or a successful outcome. Confident, believing that something good is coming, or assurance that it's going to have a positive or successful outcome. Okay, that's what the world says. Now let's add a spiritual flair to it, okay? So let's give you kind of a spiritual definition of optimism, and here's what that would be. Optimism is the unwavering expectation that our God is working every situation out for our good. Okay, that's the definition I want you to hang on to. That's the definition you need to be telling yourself every day. That's where we're going to start, is this unwavering expectation, this assurance deep within our souls that our God is involved in every situation. In fact, that's a promise that Paul gives us in Romans 8:28. Look at it, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And what does it say? All things. All, even your thing. Because I know you think you're special. God doesn't know about my thing. God definitely knows about your thing. And it says all things. It doesn't say just all things, oh, except your relationship. All things except your job situation. All things except your health. It doesn't say that. It says all things as God is working. It might be your job. It might be your financial setback. It might be your in-laws. But in all things, God is working out his good. In all things. In other words, even in a negative situation, that situation still has the potential to produce a positive purpose. How? Well, because we live with unwavering expectation that our God is working every situation out for our good. That's how we become unwavering, optimistically person. All right, so let me take a short, quick detour and ask you, what do you think about when you think about the future? Is that a funny question? What do you think about when you think about the future? Because here's the reality. If your thoughts are consumed with negativity, with fear, with worry, with anxiety, that's really bad news. Because remember, whatever consumes your mind controls your life. Don't we know that to be true? Proverbs tells us, as a man or a person thinks in his heart, so he becomes. So that means that your life is generally moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if you tend to think the world's always in trouble, always falling apart, you just can't make it anymore, I hate my circumstances, you're going to get to the end of the day and you're not going to say, wow, this is the best day ever. I'm just telling you. If you wake up with a bad attitude, with a bad perspective, a bad filter, and you see everything through a pessimistic lens, that's going to be your life. Don't we know? You have somebody like that in your life, don't you? You don't ask that person how it's going because you don't want to know the answer, do you? Because they're going to tell you, oh, you won't believe what happened to me. You're like, oh, gosh, what'd I ask? Be honest. Because that one person you ask always has negativity. It's like, oh, my bunion's hurting today, or I got a gout attack today. You know, they never know what it's going to be, you know. But it just, you know, and so that's their outlook on life. So everything in our life is negative. So what about you? What consumes your thoughts? One of the biggest problems with pessimism is those who have constantly chronic negative attitude. Experts say they view that as personal and permanent. Those negative talks, that negative outlook. It's personal, it's permanent. In other words, it's my fault. This is happening to me because I'm bad. I'm no good. Nothing ever goes my way. Have you heard people say that? Nothing ever goes my way. Like I'm incapable. I'm unworthy of anything good. And that thinking, that thing, that state of mind, it becomes permanent. And they say things like, this is the way it's always going to be. Like, I'm never going to have a good life. We're always going to struggle. Things are always bad. They're only going to get worse. Again, it's personal and permanent. For long, we start living with the victim mentality. The economy's bad. I'm never going to get a job I want. I'm never going to be safe again. Here's what I want us to recognize this morning. Is that being content, being satisfied, being blessed, being optimistic isn't a state of affairs. It's a state of mind. Again, we go back to what controls your mind controls your life. What consumes your thoughts controls you. So are your thoughts typically drifting towards faith in God? And optimism, belief about His power, His goodness involved in your life? Or do they tend to drift towards the negative? Well, I'm just concerned. I'm just worried. The whole world's falling apart. Ever since COVID, it's never coming back. Listen, if that's you, you're going to have to fight for an attitude of faith. Here's how you fight. Pastor Craig Rochelle, he puts it this way. I love this. I use this all the time. He says you got to feed your faith and starve your fears. Feed your faith. Why? Why? Because whatever you feed, what happens? You feed something, what happens? It grows. And when you starve something, that tends to what? It tends to die. And so what I want to do is I want us to see how we're going to starve the wrong voices in our lives. Those voices that rob you of joy. And I want to show you how to feed your faith in a practical way. And I don't mean we're going to put our heads in the sands, but we're going to starve fear. You know what it means for me? It means I'm not going to watch Fox News for 24/7 hours a day. Because I have realized when I watch Fox News, after a period of time, things start to change. I start getting anxious. I can tell my blood pressure's rising. I get a little angry. I mean, these things start to happen. And so you know what? I've realized I can't take more than like 10 minutes of Fox News. So I'll take a short pop of Fox News for like 10 minutes and then turn it off because that's all I can take. And if I didn't left it on for 24 hours a day, I'd be in a fetal position in a corner crying somewhere because the earth is ending. It's just too much. And so we have these negative voices all around us. And what we're going to do is we're going to distance ourselves from those who are saying, oh, the world's falling apart. We're going to distance ourselves. We're going to starve our fears. And we're going to feed our faith. Okay, I want to show you this next few minutes. I'm going to show you practically how do we do that. Okay, because I love being practical. You give me steps 8, 1, 2, 3, and I love that. Like, I can follow that. That's what we're going to do. And so how do we just not ignore these voices, but starve these voices? I get that, but then how are we going to feed our faith? We're going to do it with Scripture. Some of you love that, some of you hate that. Oh, okay, come on, Pastor. But listen, there's not a better example of this than the Scriptures. But what we're going to do is we're going to get into Scriptures. We're going to let the Scriptures get into us. And we're going to live our lives through the Scriptures. We're going to focus on it. We're going to meditate it. We're going to think on it. We're going to let it renew our mind. And so we're going to start in Romans. Romans, anytime we do this, when I say, listen, this is how you're going to build, this is going to, you're going to feed your faith. This is how you're going to build your faith. Go to Scripture. You need to understand the context, okay? Whatever, if you need help, reach out to somebody. Go online. There's a great app. I'm blanking on it. But it gives you a little context when you read it. And so there's a lot of helps out there. Context we're getting to in Romans, like who wrote it, right? Okay, well, we understand Paul wrote it. Paul's writing to the Romans. And what I love about this is he starts off, you know, we started with Romans 8:28. But before Romans chapter 8 comes Romans chapter 7. I like chapter 7. Because what happens is we see Paul like one of us. That's what I love about chapter 7. Paul looks like, I mean, he's a mess in chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. I love this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. This is the part I can relate to right here. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For if I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do want is what I keep doing. He's like, I know what to do, but I don't do it. I know what to do, and I keep doing that. I mean, how many can relate? Come on. Pastor Mike brings in this big old red velvet cake there today. And this sucker, I mean, he's like that tall. He's got icing all over it. I know I don't need that cake. But it's red velvet. And in my defense, I did not have any at the wedding, so technically it's my first piece. But I know I don't need it. Like it's not helping me reach goals I want. It's not helping me. What do I do? Like a few minutes later, there's just red velvet all over the place. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the cake went. It's just me and red velvet chunks all over the place. Because I know what to do. I know the right thing to do, but I don't. And what Paul is saying is that in this moment, there's just all this in my life, and I'm going to focus on that. And so Paul comes to this moment where he can live in that, where he could stay there. He could focus on this negativity. He could focus on the dysfunction in his life. He could say, oh, I'm no good. I'll never be any good. I can't resist red velvet. I'll never do any better than that. And he could live there. But what Paul says is, you know what? I'm going to starve my fear, my anxiety, these thoughts of not being good enough. I'm going to starve them. I'm going to feed my faith. Look how he feeds his faith. So he flips over to chapter 8, verse 1. He starts feeding his faith. Look at it with me. There is therefore what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is how we feed our faith. We land on the promises of God. The world says we're this. There ain't nothing but a red velvet cake eater. You know what? I might be, but with God, there's no judgment. And so I'm going to focus on that, not what I did wrong. I'm going to focus on this. So I'm going to starve the fear. Paul's saying, I'm starving this. I'm going to start feeding this. I am who I am, and Christ says I am. There's no judgments. He talks about the mind that's on the flesh, but the mind that's on the Spirit lives for the things of the Spirit. He says that if you're led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. If you're focused on the Spirit, your mind will be at peace. And so that's what I'm saying. This is how we feed our faith. We look at these promises. Okay, so keep going in Romans. You get down to verse 18, look what Paul says. I love this one. Paul says this, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Come on. He's going through it. He's suffering. He's going through a lot of stuff right now. Paul's like, you know what? This is doesn't even compare to what I'm going to receive in glory. You're like, okay, back to context. What's Paul going through? Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at this. Okay, Paul, what he's been going through, he's in prison, been in prison multiple times. In the worst prisons you can imagine. Five times he's beaten with 40 lashes. Five times. Romans calculated 41, you're dead. So five times he went to 40 and they stopped. Unbelievable. He was stoned. That doesn't mean in the good way. He was stoned, like physically stoned with rocks. You would not what you're thinking. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was left for dead on the side of the road. They couldn't even tell if he was alive or not. And this is a guy who's saying that all this suffering won't even compare to what God has for me in glory. So I think he might be on something. You know what he's saying right now? He said, my circumstances, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to starve that. I'm going to feed my faith. Whatever you're going through, that's what Paul's telling us. This is how we do it. We get our eyes off our situation. Whatever you're struggling with, maybe it's a job, maybe it's that relationship, maybe it's fear, maybe it's anxiety, whatever it is, you got to stop focusing on it. You got to starve it and start feeding your faith. Say, you know what? All this doesn't even compare to what the Lord has for me. I know some of you are struggling. Some of you are worried that you're sick. Some of you are worried you are sick. Some of you have relatives that are sick. Some of you have relational challenges right now. In your marriage or with your kids, whatever it is, whatever you do, tell yourselves as you're reading this what Scripture teaches. Yeah, I might be struggling with this today, but it's producing the strength I need for tomorrow. That it's not even worth comparing. This trial, this struggle is not even worth comparing to God's future blessing has for me. So I'm gonna starve my fears. I'm gonna feed my faith. I'm gonna let God's word start to renew my mind, because it's always moving in the direction of my mind's always moving in the direction of the strongest thoughts. So I'm gonna focus on his word. So let's go back to Romans. Okay, go to Romans 8:26. I love this. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I love that first part. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hello. Come on. I know you guys are a lot stronger than me, but I'm weak. I need something more than I have, and I got this promise. I can focus on my fears. I can focus on anxiety. I can focus on what's happening in the world. I can focus on Fox News. I can focus on all that. I can't do nothing about any of that. But I know his Spirit in my weakness. Listen, that's really good news. Some of you guys need some more coffee this morning, because that's really good news. It's good news for me. It's good news for you. It's good news right now, because honestly, I feel incredibly incapable, like all the time. I feel unsure all the time. I second guess myself left and right. I don't feel prepared. I can focus on those negative thoughts, or I got to tell myself, you know what? He never leaves me. He promised he'll never forsake me. His Spirit helps me when I'm weak, when I'm broken. His Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, dwells in me. And in that moment, I'm feeding my faith and I'm starving my fears. Some of you feel weak, you feel overwhelmed, you feel discouraged, you feel like you can't take it no more. Some good Christian will come up to you and they'll say, well, God helps those who help themselves. Please tell me where that's at in the Bible. It's not in mine. I'll tell you what is in my Bible, though. My Bible says God helps those who need help. My Bible says he helps those who are weak. He helps those who are broken. He helps those who are crying out to them. He helps you when you're weak. So if you're hurting right now, who is God? He's your comforter. If you're confused right now, he's your guide. If you find yourself discouraged right now, he's your hope. If you're anxious about anything, he's your peace. If you're weak, he said he's your strength. So what we need to do is feed our faith and starve our fears. So we continue to read. Continue in Romans, and we get to Romans 8:28, which we read earlier. We know that in all things, in good things and bad things, in the days I love and the days I hate, in the heartbreak and the inconveniences, in all things, God works for good or for those who love him and been called to his presence by his purpose. He's working every situation. Maybe behind the scenes, but everything the enemy means for bad, he's working out for good in your life. That's how faithful our God is. You may not see him, but he's always there. He never leaves you. He's always good. He's always for you. You need to hear, some of you need to hear that. He's always for you. People will try to tell you what the keys to happiness is. If you want to be fulfilled, you need to lower your expectations. You know, don't expect anything good. Then you're never disappointed, right? If you just lower your expectations and believe only bad things are going to happen, then you're not going to be crushed when they do. I'd like to flip that upside down. As a follower of Christ, don't lower your expectations. Raise your expectations to the goodness and faithfulness and power of our God. So many people say, I just want life to go back to normal. I got more faith than that. I want God to do something better than normal. Why not? He can do it, can he not? Oh, come on, you guys. This is good. You think he can do something better than normal? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to move on so you guys don't embarrass yourselves, but it's bad. Listen, God is working all things out for good. I believe by faith that God can do exceedingly abundantly more than all we can ask according to his power. I believe that going through this, there are some of you that are going to come out the other side, your marriage is going to be stronger. I believe optimistically, some of you, your family has been closer. The love is going to go deeper than it ever has been before. They're Christians who become bold, more bolder because of this in their faith. The worship team, come on up. I'll wind it down. I'm optimistic in the goodness and the faithfulness of God. There's nothing going to stop the love of God through his church. His church always prevails. His word is always true. His presence never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So we're going to starve our fears and feed our faith. And then we get to the last of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, which is two of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Look at it. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how we feed our faith right there. When you're going through the struggles, when you're going through a battle, when you're going through negative thoughts, we look at this, say, all right, nothing on this earth, nothing in the heavens, nothing in death, nothing is separating me from the love of Christ. That's how I feed my faith right there. Whatever you're going through, it can't separate you from the love of God. Come on, somebody. Y'all need to wake up this morning. Nothing is separating you from the love of God. I tell myself, no matter where I go, God's there. No matter what I do, God loves me. No matter what happens, God is for me. The enemy's going to turn that around and say, God doesn't like you no more. Where's he at? God doesn't love you. If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through that right now. Lies. Starve the negativity, starve the fear, starve the anxiety in your life, and feed your faith with Scripture. Listen, I know there's some real problems, real struggles, but I also know without a shadow of a doubt, we have a bigger God. A God whom all things are possible. So rather than be consumed by fear and anxiety, I'm going to believe that our present struggles are not even worth comparing to the future glory of what God's going to do in us and through us. When I'm discouraged, when I'm weak, I'm going to remind myself, His Spirit is perfect. In my weakness, His strength is perfect. Because there's nothing. There's not sickness. There's not fear, death. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ. So this morning, what you need to know, what consumes your mind controls your life. Would you stand with us this morning? What consumes your mind controls your life. This morning, I want you to start identifying what consumes your mind. Do you walk in here with fear? Do you walk in here with anxiety? Do you walk in here, you're struggling, you're going through a battle? What is consuming your mind right now? You need to be reminded, my God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love. And remember the last part? He's given me a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. Sound mind. So what that means is I'm going to starve my fears. I'm going to feed my faith.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus to till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn light. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Can you do this twice?
Your name.